Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. Our first order of business for this evening will be the approval of the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections at this time?
Gentlemen, the agenda was revised on May 5th to include the approval of the minutes and the findings of fact for April 14th, and also revised on May 7th to include old business case number 11357. Everything else is the same.
Okay, thank you.
Motion to approve the agenda is revised.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve this evening's revised agenda. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Next, we'll have the approval of our minutes and the finding of facts of our April the 14th, 2014 meeting.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second that.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickards that we approve the minutes and the finding of the facts of our April the 14th meeting. Again, all those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion so carried. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Board of Adjustment conduct of hearings. This is time and place for hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of public hearings this evening, and in order to proceed in an orderly fashion and ensure full participation by those present with an interest, hearings will be conducted subject to certain rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct will not be tolerated and may result in expulsion from the room. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Number one, each application will be announced. Two, the applicant will be asked to come forward and be sworn in. Three, the applicant will then present the case, explain the request, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or special use exception. Four, the board may ask questions of the applicant and any of the witnesses. Five, the board will then invite public comment. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. Six, the board may ask questions of supporters or opponents. Seven, if you have questions for others, those questions must first be directed to the board, and the board will then direct the question to the appropriate individual. Eight, once all testimony has been presented, then the public hearing is closed and the case may be voted upon, tabled, or taken under advisement for consideration at the end of the agenda. Nine, if you're here for a case listed under old business or other business, please understand that no new testimony or evidence will be taken unless the record was held open at the previous hearing. In addition, items listed under old business are considered after all the new public hearings, and you're advised that it may be late in the evening when such matters come up. Number 10, all board members are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening to view deliberations at the end of the agenda or to call the board's office in the morning for the result. In addition, you may view all of these proceedings live on the internet. 11, for the courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or pager, we would request that you turn that off for the duration of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lang?
I turned my phone off.
Oh.
First application is case number 11390. The application of Susan J. Tulloch, trustee of the Susan J. Tulloch Revocable Trust. Site is located 375 feet east of Road 278 and Golden Beach Road on the northerly side of Bayless Drive, a private street, and Bayless Drive being approximately 1 mile south of Road 277 and Golden Road. The 911 address is 33669 Bayless Road, Lewis, Delaware. The tax map number is 234, map 18, parcel 16, and they are requesting a variance from the front yard setback requirement. To be more specific, they are requesting a 11.9-foot variance from the required 30-foot front yard setback. We received no letters of support, no letters of opposition, and no mayor returns on this application.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Good evening, sir.
Hi. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, board members. My name is Chad Meredith. I'm a member of the Delaware Bar, and as such, I'm always under oath, but I will certainly take an oath or affirmation if requested. I'm here on behalf of Susan J. Tulloch, who is trustee of the Susan J. Tulloch Revocable Trust, the current owner of the subject property. Also with me is Deborah Waters, a local realtor. She'll be called upon as a witness, and I guess at that time, she'll take her oath or affirmation. I've personally visited the property and reviewed a file and some other paperwork, and will present the facts of the case, the situation and circumstances that are at the subject property, give a little bit of testimony as to what I've observed in visiting the location, and then I'll call on Ms. Waters, as mentioned, for a few questions. As Mr. Lank let you guys know, the property is located on Bayless Road, just east of Angola Beach Road. It's in a subdivision known as Tall Pines. Tall Pines was originally plotted in 1958. That plot was recorded in 1961 in Plot Book 4 at page 11. The plot set up a 50-foot right-of-way easement for Bayless Drive, ending in a cul-de-sac, and established 25-foot wide lots all fronting on Bayless Drive around Bayless Drive. A deed dated February 17, 1967, and recorded in Deed Book 515, page 49, and all of these books, of course, are of record here in Sussex County. That deed in 1960 laid out a set of restrictions, none of which covered setbacks, one of which required that any subdivision of land would result in no lots having less than 100 feet along the shore of Herring Creek. The entire subdivision is kind of on a peninsula that pokes out into Herring Creek. The subject property is made up then of four of the 25-foot wide lots in order to comply with the 100-foot required frontage. It's lots 5, 6, 7, and 8 of that plot. And briefly tracing the title back, just to get back to where the house was built, again, the current owner is Susan J. Tulloch Revocable Trust, who acquired the property on May 22, 2013, of record in Deed Book 4129 at page 316. That conveyance was from C. William Tulloch and Susan J. Tulloch, husband and wife. C. William Tulloch conveyed the property to C. William Tulloch and Susan J. Tulloch as tenants by the entireties, recorded on June 15th, 98, in Deed Book 2295, page 319. William Putnam and Bertha Putnam, as husband and wife, conveyed the property to C. William Tulloch in 1985 at Deed Book 1380, page 142. So the current owners, their original acquisition of the property happened in 1985. In 1972, Harry and Janet Faust as husband and wife, and Wilson and Alberta Cullum as husband and wife, conveyed the property to William J. Putnam and Bertha L. Putnam, which is of record in Deed Book 677 at page 40. I know on the application we had an approximate age of the house is 1978. That was based on an approximation by Mrs. Tulloch, that we actually today looked at the property card, and that indicates that the home was actually constructed in 1972, so most likely when the Putnams owned it. In visiting the property, neighboring homes, at least to the naked eye, all seem to be similarly situated. I looked down the house line, and the neighboring house looks to be in line, maybe even a little in front. A house across the street, and some other houses on the road all seem to be similarly situated. I've also printed pictures of that, and I've printed Google Maps images if you care to see those. And if you look at the two surveys that were included with the application, the home hasn't moved since 1985. So the applicant has done nothing to the home to create the variance issue. I think that maybe what happened is the builder placed the home 30 feet back of the pavement of Bayless Drive as opposed to 30 feet back from the 50-foot right-of-way that was laid out. There's also the possibility that the homes were built to an existing building line since, again, This was originally laid out in 58. This home was built in 72. And in that period before zoning took effect, there could have been a few homes put up on the street. So turning to the standards for relief, under the Sussex County Code, a request for variance cannot be granted unless the applicant can show, one, uniqueness. The property here does have some unique circumstances and conditions. The property slopes back from the front of the house down to Herring Creek shoreline. The flood zone there requires the house to be 6 feet above sea level. Where the house sits now, it's backed up just about to that. It's at 6.7 feet above sea level at the first level. Also, as mentioned, the subdivision was originally plotted in 58, so again, there's the possibility that these homes were built to an existing building line and the possibility that the builder just measured from the street instead of the right-of-way edge. There is an exceptional practical difficulty and undue hardship due to the condition. There'd be great costs needed in order to move the home back the 11.9 feet to come into compliance, possibly backing it into the flood zone, with little to no benefit to the neighboring properties, which, as I mentioned, are all similar situated. Number two, the possibility of development. The property has already been developed, and the variance is necessary in order to enable reasonable use of the property. Otherwise, again, the house would have to be moved back. Number three, as mentioned, the difficulty has not been created by the applicant. They received the house in 1985. The house was built in 1972 when a previous owner had the house. The effect on the surroundings, the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, as many homes appear to be similarly situated. The variance will not substantially or permanently impair their appropriate use for the development of adjacent property. Again, many of these properties are developed. These homes have been standing for quite some time. The variance will not be detrimental to the public welfare. The condition and home already exist and will not affect similarly situated neighboring properties or property owners. Number five, the extent of the variance represents the least modification possible of the regulation at issue. The request is an 11.9 foot variance. That's all that's needed in order to push the home into 30-foot front setback compliance. And the variance is necessary in order to afford relief, as the home is existing and has been for about 40 years. And again, I'd like to call up Ms. Deborah Waters in order to answer a few questions.
I'd like to see those maps too, please.
Sure.
Pass those down to our secretary.
Do you swear or affirm the information you're about to give is the truth? Okay. And state your name and address for the record.
Deborah K. Waters, 30861 Mills Ridge Road, Lewis, Delaware.
You can go right there by the attorney.
Other end.
Sir, you can hand it down if you would too.
Thank you. I've got more too. Okay, Ms. Waters, again, could you please, for the record, let us know what your occupation is?
I'm a realtor with Cobalt Banker in Lewis, Delaware.
And how long have you been engaged in real estate?
Almost 9 years.
And how many have just a part of those years or have all of those years been here in this localized area?
Yes, all in Sussex County.
Okay. And are you familiar with the subject property on Bayless Road and its surrounding area?
Yes, I am very familiar with the neighborhood.
And are you familiar with the real estate market as a whole in Angola and similar homes?
Yes, I am very familiar with it.
Were you listening to statements, facts, and record as previously testified to?
Yes, I do.
And if I were to ask you to testify or confirm the statements I made, would you swear and or affirm to everything more or less that I said?
Yes.
Would you say that what I said is a true and accurate statement of the facts and conditions at the subject property?
Yes, I believe it's all true.
Okay. And lastly, given your knowledge of the real estate market in this area, would you say that the home as it currently sits within the front yard setback has an adverse or negative effect on the values of neighboring homes?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
That's all I have. Again, if you'd like any more of the Google images or any of the photographs I took today, I have those on hand if needed.
We'll find them. Hey, are there any questions from members of the board? We'll start down here with Mr. Mills.
No questions.
And Mr. Hudson?
No questions.
Mr. Records?
Yes. What is that projection out there? Is that part of the a porch or part of the building itself? The one that's in.
Are you looking at the survey?
Yes.
That's a little bay window. I rode by there today, and it is a bay window that's off the ground.
Okay, that would make it in violation. Yes. The house you feel is that the contractor measured, you said, from the pavement?
I think that's a possibility. I did take a ruler and, given the scale that was provided on the surveys, the 18.1 that goes from the bay window to the edge of the right-of-way line mm-hmm. is about 9/16 of an inch. And then projecting that line down from the edge of the right-of-way to the edge of the pavement, it's in between a half an inch and 9/16 inches. So it's very close to the 18.1, and I would think is probably greater than the 11.9 that we're requesting. And so I have a feeling that it's possible that, yes, the
property is sloping, you say, to the back?
It slopes from the front to the back. It's pretty significant slope from the front to back, and it doesn't quite level out at the back. It continues to slope down, just not as
And it's in
harshly.
A flood zone. It's in a flood zone.
It is, yes. The Herring Creek requires, it's a flood zone A, I believe, which requires an elevation of 6 feet.
Six, okay.
And where the house is currently standing, the first floor is at 6.7 feet.
Okay. Thank you. No more questions.
Mr. Workman?
No questions.
Okay, Mr. Galloway, I have no questions. Hey, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve case number 11390. I believe the applicant has addressed the standards for granting a variance and has explained them very well. He's answered my questions. I believe the uniqueness of the property, which slopes in the back, and I asked the applicant that question. He said it's quite a severe slope. It's part of the application. Also, a variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. The state didn't approve that statement. And it's unnecessary hardship is not an exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. This is due to their survey and was built back in 1972. I believe he's made it now, the correction. And the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. And the request of the variance is the minimum that will afford relief. And I believe the requested variance represents the least modification possible of the regulation in use.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Workman that we approve case number 11390. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickards?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
Mr. Workman?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Calloway, for the previous reason had been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11390 is approved.